Hello, this is LaRue Atkinson again. We're in the middle of our spiritual constitution, and boy, I'm having such a good time fellowshipping with you through the internet, explaining these mysteries, teaching these mysteries. I know it's going to bear fruit in all the nations of the earth. And today, this teaching is one of the most exciting teachings in this entire series. It's one that's revolutionized my walk with God, and I know it's going to be a blessing to you as well. And I want to dive right in. Amen. Let's go over to John chapter 6, and let's look at a particular familiar verse here in verse 28. Now, I want to give you the foundation of this verse. Let me tell you the verse first. Verse 28. Then they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Because they saw the manifestation of Jesus. They watched him and his fellowship and his interaction with his Father, and they saw the Father answering his prayer. They wanted to do what he did. Isn't that our prayer today? We want to do in this generation what Jesus did in his generation. And look what his answer to them. Amazing answer. Verse 29. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, single, solitary, finished work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent." Don't you love Jesus? I mean, that is the question of the universe. How do we do what you do? You promised for us to do it. You said we could do it. How do we do what you do? And Jesus said, "This is the work of God." Amazing what he did not say there, "Go into all the nations," although that is a primary function. But he said, "Before you go, if you want to do what I do, you're going to have to believe." Now, obviously, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to teach us what that means. And I remember I was at a conference a long time ago, probably 10, 12 years ago, and a very dear friend of mine, Gary Carpenter, was teaching. And if you've never heard of Gary Carpenter, you ought to log on to his website, GaryCarpenter.org. Really powerful teacher, one of the most powerful in the body of Christ today. And he was teaching along the lines of faith, and it so stirred and moved my heart. I remember that I went outside into a field and literally just fell on my knees, crying like a little baby. I was so moved in the Spirit. And I remember the Holy Spirit overshadowed me that day. And he came to me. He said, "Would you like a definition of what it means to believe?" I don't know why he chose that time to talk to me like that, but he said the most remarkable words to me I'll never forget. And I'm going to tell you exactly what he said to me. Here's what a definition of believing. He said, "Son, it's a state of seeing and saying that manifest the inheritance of Christ in you, to you, and through you." It's not just seeing and saying, it's being able to stay in a continual state of it. And really, when he said, "If you abide in me," there in John 15, he was saying, if you can continue in this state of abiding in me, you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Abiding, believing, many of these places live in the same place. You have to remain in a given state of seeing the promise of God, of saying the promise of God, of living the promise of God a long time before it ever manifests in the natural. You're certainly not going to see the promise of God and say the promise of God and live the promise of God looking in the natural. You're going to have to turn your eyesight. And today, we're going to teach you how to develop that atmosphere. Literally, there's a whole realm that you can live in as a believer that belongs to you. Do you know that you're seated in Christ in Ephesians chapter 2? The same place in Ephesians chapter 1 where the Father raised Christ from the dead and set him at his right hand. In Ephesians chapter 2, he said, "You were quickened, you were raised, and you were made to sit in that same place, in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, rulers, and dominion and might." That is your God-given inheritance as a son, a citizen, and an heir of the kingdom of God. That's not a seat you're going to get when you get to heaven. That's a seat you have now. You know, when they asked Jesus where the kingdom of God was, he said, "It doesn't come with observation." He said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Because your spirit man is connected to God. and it's seated with Christ as a joint heir to all the Father has. If you learn to live in that place, you can literally learn to develop the atmosphere of that place. You can literally learn to turn your eyesight, your senses, your tongue, your emotions, and you can turn into that place and live there, protected from the elements of this world, protected from the deviousness of our enemy and all the arrows that he throws at us. Remember the shield of faith that we talked about in the last teaching? There in Ephesians 6, he said you could raise the shield of faith whereby you could quench all the fire darts of the adversary. That shield is literally an atmosphere that surrounds your life, that surrounds the promise of God, surrounds what God has said to you, and it's an impenetrable shield if you know how to construct it. But I'm going to tell you right up front, my friend, I've been walking in this revelation for 2 or 3 years now. You must give attendance to it. You must give all diligence to it. It's the same shield where he says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. That's the shield. You're going to have to give all diligence to it. It's got to be the number one thing on your agenda. Do you want to see the promise of God abiding in you, fulfilled into the earth? Then you're going to have to give attendance and raise that shield. Today, we're going to teach you how to do that. Amen. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 4, and let's begin with the atmosphere of faith. Let's look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. You see that? Incline thine ear to my sayings. So you're going to have to give your attendance, your ear. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Do you know how many times the Bible tells us to do this? For their life to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. My friend, that is the shield that takes place when you actually do that. Now I remember when the Holy Spirit was teaching me, before he actually brought me to some of these scriptures, he was telling me to do certain things that were very strange to me. I remember writing, that wasn't such a strange thing, but he said, now I want you to frame these things and put them in front of your eyes. And I'm thinking, why does he want me to do that? Then he told me to do something very remarkable. I'll tell you a short story. I was recently, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I went to an intercessory conference there and right outside of Atlanta with Bobby Jean Merg, dear, dear lady, apostle really of God. And I went to one of her conferences, and on the way there in Toccoa, about a couple hours outside of Atlanta, passed by a bunch of abandoned warehouses. And when I passed by those warehouses, I was very inquisitive of what they were for some reason. And I had lunch with Bobby Jean that day, and she spoke to me and she said, you know those warehouses that you passed by? I said, yes. And she said, you know who built those warehouses and these campgrounds that we're having this conference on? And I said, who? She goes, R.G. Letourneau. Now, many of you may not know R.G. Letourneau, but he was a man in the early 1900s that built and designed most of the earth-moving equipment that we know today, the bulldozers, the caterpillars, the land-moving equipment, all the D-Day Normandy invasion, the tanks and the bulldozers. He built and manufactured all of that for the government. But he was a remarkable man in the spirit, and he was one of the first men to ever truly conquer the flesh. And I don't know if you've ever heard of people say, well, I want to give 90% of my income to the Lord and live on 10%. Do you know where they got that? That man, R.G. Letourneau, he was a man that did that. He literally lived on 10% of his income and gave 90% to the Lord. This man was so wealthy in the 1930s and 40s, in the middle of recession, had given $40 million to the gospel. In the 1930s and 40s, that would be like $500 million to $1 billion in today's times. Can you imagine that? And here's this man that God sent. And I remember that night, intercession had come upon me and said, I want you to get up and go down to those abandoned warehouses. And I went down there, and the Holy Spirit was so on me. I felt the spirit of intercession. I was in prayer, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to grab the dirt off that man's land. There's nothing in that dirt, my friend, but the remembrance of a man that truly conquered the flesh, because God had given me promises. concerning wealth transferences, promises of doing business in great water. In fact, I have a constitution there for wealth transference there on the page. You ought to download that. It's magnificent information and revelation that's in there. It took a long time to put all that together. And I remember in that particular time, the Lord said, "Now you keep that dirt." And that's what I have in this vial. I have it to this day. I'll have it for the rest of my life. He said, "When you go to prayer, I want you to put that in your hand." He goes, "I want it to always remind you that I sent a man in your generation, a compass, to do what it is you want to do in your future. So every time you shake it, every time you hold it, remember, this man already did what God said I can do. And let it forever be there." What was he doing? He was putting something in my hand. He said, "Put it in the midst of your heart." He said, "Put it in your mouth." And over a couple of month period, he was teaching me all these principles. Then he took me to this very verse I'm about to take you to, and it literally exploded on the inside of me. One of the most powerful verses in believing God. Let's go there, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, body, and strength." We talked about that. If you fall in love with God, I mean, deposits are on their way. Now watch what he says here in verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." We've been talking about God makes these deposits within our heart and how to guard that place. You've got to keep them there. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of them." Watch this. "When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." You talk about it when you rise in the morning. You talk the promise. At lunchtime, you're talking the promise. At dinner time, you're talking the promise. Everybody may think you're crazy. They may think you're a fool. But keep talking the promise. Because what you're talking, you got in the midst of your heart. What you're seeing in that place is more real than the earth that you live in. You got to talk it, my friend. You got to keep it in the midst of your heart. Remember, it said keep the word. That's why you develop that constitution. I have one written right here. Constitution for Revival. You see that? 52-page Constitution for Revival. I keep it in front of my eyes. I keep it in the midst of my heart. God shared this with me on a mountaintop experience on a 21-day fast. He gave me this on a 21-day fast. I keep it forever because everything I see is only what the enemy says, have God said. And I can't afford to look into that realm to find hope. To find faith. No, I look into the promise and God said, "You can. The works that I do, you shall do also. If you can believe, all things are possible to believe." Can you see that realm without ever living in it first? I learn to adjust my senses. But look what else he says. I want to show you something really powerful. He says, "When you sit in that walk, when you rise up," look at verse 8, "and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand." That's literally what the Holy Spirit was having me do. There's nothing in that dirt. It's just dirt. I'm not going to sell you no dirt. Don't send me an offering for no dirt. It's just dirt, my friend. But I know that a man conquered, and he already went in my generation where I want to go. I know that I know that I know if he can do it, I can do it. I'm forever reminded. I bind that in my hand. Oh, hallelujah. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Why do you think God had you have a picture? See, I saw that little blue feather in that Constitution of America, and I said, that's a Constitution revival. It's going to be just as powerful as the Constitution of the United States. And every time I see it, I know there's a Constitution behind it. In fact, I have it framed on my wall. I have the whole thing framed, 52 pages in a frame, like the one I showed you in the previous teaching on wisdom. I have that picture there, and I see revival. I see it, my friend. I taste it. I feel it. I've got it in the palms of my hand. I have it in the midst of my heart. It's on my tongue. It's in my eyes. It's either that or start looking into the circumstances. If I look into the circumstances and the state of the church today, my friend, we're far from what God wants us to be. We're certainly not going to get the results we're looking for by continuing doing what we're doing. It's just performance engines of human sufficiency, trying Hollywood, Madison Avenue, marketing campaigns to try to produce the will of God in the flesh. No, my friend, we got to get back to that old-fashioned gospel of demonstration and power. The kind of gospel that's not available, that goes beyond the performance of man. We got to look into that realm. We got to see it. We got to taste it. We got to touch it. Look what he says. Bind them for a sign upon the hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. Here you go again, writing the vision. Literally, when the Holy Spirit brought me to this particular chapter, you know what he told me? You know what I'm doing, son? He said, I want you to learn how to develop an atmosphere around your senses, the very part of you the enemy is fighting against. See, the enemy wages his war against your senses. If he can pull your emotion, if he can pull your senses, if he can pull you in to that realm, he has you. Because he's going to endeavor to sabotage the hope that's abiding in you. He's coming to paralyze that hope, paralyze that promise. He's trying to get you to sell out to something far beneath what God has called you to do. If he can't get you with a hammer, he'll come and try to sell out to you. He'll offer you the world. You got to know that you know there's a realm. It says the kingdom of God is within. In that seat, the Holy Spirit can literally brush your future on the canvas of your spirit. You have to keep these things in the midst of your heart and on your tongue, in the midst of your forehead, in front of your senses. Why? Because you've got to develop this realm where you see the promise of God far greater than the natural. And everything the enemy comes and brings at you, you cannot afford to allow it to breach the harmony and the alignment and the unity you have with the vision of God. It says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You come in alignment and you see it. Just like Abraham. Abraham, you want a bird, you got to change what you see. Look at the stars, look at the sun. You got to change what you say. You no longer shall be called Abram, but Abraham, father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations. Every time he introduced himself, father of many nations. It's got to be on your tongue, my friend. That's God's way. That's why Abraham, against hope, could believe in hope. Fully persuaded. See, he learned at some point in his life, God gave him some imagery to wrap around his senses and told him, look at the stars and the sand all day long. Meditate my promise. Meditate. Can you imagine, Abraham? Look at your descendants. Let me get into your imagination. Let my word get into your imagination and sanctify. Let my promise. I'm going to teach you how to do that in one of the next couple of sessions, how literally to get God involved with your imagination. Your imagination, write this down, is the paintbrush the Holy Spirit uses to paint your entire future on the canvas of your spirit. If it's sanctified and you know how to properly use it and loose it, there's no end to what God can do for you. Just powerful stuff. So as the Lord was teaching me some of these principles, I realized the importance is that shield. And I remember when I'd get in there and I'd close my eyes and I would hold that constitution to my heart and I would literally see. I hope you heard some of that because I had the mic covered up, but just turn it up a little louder during that time. But I literally see it. And what I began to notice was there was an atmosphere that began to break out over my life. There was peace. You know, God talked about that in Isaiah. I believe in Isaiah 11. Maybe Isaiah 6, I have to look it up. But he said the government of peace. He said the increase of his government and peace, there is no end. I began to feel that peace and that atmosphere of his government wrap around me. I said, what is this, Lord? He said, this is the shield, son. If you learn to raise this shield daily, it literally will wrap itself around your senses and it creates a tower of defense. When the enemy tries to get in, he can't penetrate my promise. He can't penetrate what you're looking at. But if you don't, you're going to be so accessible to the enemy's assignments. He's going to come after your life. He's going to try to paralyze that hope and he wants to put his own stuff in there. He wants to paralyze that, invade it. God wants to nurture it, surround it under the shadow of the Almighty. The Holy Spirit brooding over those promises. See it, say it. Put it in the palms of your hand. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Write it upon your foreheads. Put it on your walls. Keep your whole life surrounded with what God has said. Oh, my friend, what a beauty it is to believe God. Anymore, I don't even look in the natural, because that's not where my promise is going to manifest. God started it in my spirit. He's incubating and developing it in my spirit. Eventually, He'll give me the victory report in my spirit. And then out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those rivers are just going to flow, my friend, to the nations of the earth. I want to be one of those guys. The Bible says that the generation I lived in was framed by a word, a promise that God placed in my heart. I know I can't do it in my hands, my human sufficiency. I'm taking my seat to rule and reign with Christ. Receive the promise. I want to incubate those promises. I want the Holy Spirit to overshadow. I want to co-labor. I'm giving my life, my eyes, my ears, my heart, my mind. I'm giving all that to see in the dimension of the unseen. To look into God and His promises. To birth a first world revival. To birth a transference of wealth to the nations. To birth the kind of wisdom can facilitate both. To birth generational inheritance where I could leave an inheritance to my grandchildren. You know how many people can't even leave an inheritance to their children alone? I have a constitution there on the page for generational inheritance. In fact, in the Mount Hebron series, I built a whole war manual around that to contend for it. So you could leave an inheritance so your children won't have to suffer the things you suffered. Oh, hallelujah. Look at Proverbs 7 and 1. My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye. You see it? You see it? You got to keep it there. You got to protect it, guard it. It's got to be important. Hallelujah. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them on the table of thine heart. Look at that. Bind them on your fingers. Write it up on the table of your heart. I'm reminded of a story in Acts when Paul, God said, you're going to Caesar and you're going to appeal to Caesar and you're going to give witness and testimony to the greatest man really in the natural, Caesar. You're going to Rome, and on the way there, the devil was trying to stop him with everything. And then Paul even perceived that there was going to be a boisterous wind. And he said, there's going to be much loss. And those men weren't listening to Paul. And all of a sudden, look at Acts 27 and 14. After a long time, they're beat down from its tempestuous wind, which is called the Euroclydon, a powerful hurricane-type wind. You know that wind was summoned by a principality to stop Paul, the same kind of wind that tried to stop Jesus on his way to cast those 6,000 devils out of that man of Gadara, the demoniac of Gadara. He's trying to stop Paul, and look what Paul says. I love it. Verse 25, understand this, all the storms never got into Paul. He learned to live in that other place, the secret place of the Most High, how to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Look what he says, verse 25, I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. I don't care. You send a hurricane, you can send a tornado, you can send a Euroclydon, you can send a city, a nation. It's not going to stop what God said, because the place I'm seated, it's far above all this other realm. He says, by the way, because all you guys are with me, you're going to lose all your possessions, but not one life will be lost in this. Wow. That's the kind of people I want to run with. Amen. Let's look over. I've already talked to you about Mark 4, but I'd like to just share with you one other part there. Mark 4 and 35. We've already discussed this particular verse. But if you look there, on that day when evening must come, he said to him, let us go to the other side. I want you to see this one more time. Verse 37, there ariseth a great storm of wind. There's that Euroclydon again. And the waves beat into the boat, insomuch that the boat was now filling, and he himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. Oh, my friend, there is a place we can rest under the shadow of the Almighty, where He leads us beside still waters. Asleep on a cushion. Wow. In the middle of a Euroclydon, in the middle of a hurricane, all the disciples look where they were. You want to know what true faith is? It's not standing in the world system shouting the promise of God. It's standing in the kingdom of God, knowing who you are, where you're from, and what you're doing. Jesus never left His position. That's true faith. Look at the disciples. They awaked him and said to him, Master, teacher, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you know we're sinking? Their emotions, their will, their body, their words, everything was pushed over into the enemy's camp. Everything about them was moved by what they saw, felt, or heard because they didn't know how to stay in that place. This is the work of God, a state of seeing and saying, a place you enter into with God that you literally see His promise, far greater than anything thrown against you. Even the greatest of hurricanes, the Euroclodons, the tornadoes, they can't stop what's abiding in you. I've got one last scripture for you, my friend. Heed this warning well. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty, natural, spiritual, soul, come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. His vineyard was not guarded. He wasn't caring for the vineyard. That man is inside you. That vineyard's inside you, my friend. Take a long, good look at the vineyard. Is it grown over with thorns? Has the enemy penetrated it? Is all you see is the despair of life, the unbelief of the world, or is it full of faith? Full grown leaves of faith, growing, blossoming, keeping it watered, keeping the weeds out, guarding it every day, keeping it in the midst of your sight, keeping it in the midst of your heart, on your tongue, in the midst of your hands, writing on the doorpost. Are you keeping it there? Are you guarding it with all diligence? Or is the nettles covering it up? My friend, that's the choice and the difference between a man that changes his generation for God, I one that watches a man change his generation from God. On the next couple of sessions, we're going to get in deeply on the laws of confession. In our last session, I'm going to teach you how to lose a sanctified imagination, one of the most powerful tools the Holy Spirit employs is painting your picture and your destiny. It's been my pleasure feeding you from His table. God bless you.